We say He expresses His love in three irrefutable ways. The first one is His what? His character love. The second one, what? Calvary love. And the third one is what? Covenant love. These are three absolutes you cannot question. You can't question His character. You can't question what happened at Calvary. And you can't question the fact that He's made us His children. And any person who questions that does not understand even the simplest things of the Word of God. So, one of those basic essential truths, if I'm going to trust Him in adversity and difficulty and hardship, I've got to believe with all of my heart, my God loves me. It is His nature to love me. He's proven His love at Calvary. He's made me a child of God. I'm in a covenant with Him, and He says, I am saved eternally, one of His children. And because He's a loving God, He can only do me good. Listen to this. God can only do you good. Let's say it together. God can only do you good. Now, I realize that you say, well, I look at my circumstances and I think, oh, I said it, but I don't believe it. Well, you'll believe it. Just hold on for a moment. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is this. We said, first of all, God is perfect in His love. Secondly, I want you to jot it down. God is infinite in His wisdom. God is infinite in His wisdom. God is infinite in His wisdom. That is, in His wisdom, He always knows what is best for us. In His infinite wisdom, He always knows what is best for us. You see, if God loves me and He's only going to do the right thing, then He must know what the right thing is every time. He is infinite in His wisdom. That is, God makes judgments that are absolutely perfect. They're never imperfect, but always perfect. And if you'll think about it, God doesn't have to call the angelic host together to have a council to ask what to do. He doesn't have to ask anybody. There's no committee. There's no council. There's no question. He determines every single thing by His absolute, total, perfect, infinite wisdom. God always knows. Listen, He always knows what is best for us in every circumstance. Now, when you and I look at our circumstances sometime, we may think, well, now, Lord, I know that You're wise and I know that You're infinitely wise, but Lord, I think You've forgotten something. No, He's not forgotten anything. Because you see, He sees everything perfectly. Now, in our human understanding and reasoning and so forth, we don't have all the facts. We may have all the facts that we can gather together and we think, well, now I have all the facts. But remember this, in every decision you and I make about our life and in other situations, God, who is there overseeing this decision-making process, knows everything that's happened before this decision was made and all the things that influenced it. He also knows all the consequences of this decision in your life and those about you. And so therefore, only God has infinite wisdom and knows the totality of all the things that are involved in every single decision we make. He is absolutely infinite in His wisdom, which means He will only do and always do the best thing, the very best thing for us. Now, when I think about the fact that how He makes these choices in our life and sometimes the ones I don't understand, I know that because of His very nature, He is infinitely wise. He can't make a mistake. You see, it is absolutely impossible for God to make a mistake. Infinitely wise, always does and always knows what is the best thing and the right thing in every decision. This is why. So often the Bible says, and in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, probably the two verses of Scripture that I call the anchor of my life, He says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, because we don't have all the facts. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Look to Him, seek Him, listen to Him, and He will direct your path. Now, God is willing to give us direction. And you see, when God gives you direction, you must abide by what the Lord says. Now, here's what happens. When we ask the Lord to show us something, and the Lord gives us some sense of direction, and then because we don't understand it, and because we can't quite figure it out, we oftentimes want to choose to do something that appears to be the better, it's always wrong. It is always wrong. You can't improve on the infinite wisdom of God. He says, I will guide you with mine eye. I will teach you in the way which thou shalt go. And He says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. That is, the Word of God is what gives us light. That is, gives us a sense of God's direction for our life. And if I really want the truth, I'm to listen to Him, get in His Word. And then when He makes a promise, I am to be willing to abide by what He says, not by what I feel. Now, I believe that certainly Abraham, according to this passage of Scripture we read here in this fourth chapter, certainly believed in the infinite wisdom of God. Because why, for example, why would God choose him? Why didn't He choose someone else? No reason except God in His wisdom chose this man. Why would He separate him from his family? Why would He separate him from his city, the place that was best known? Wisdom of God. Why would He put him over there in Canaan, away from, right in the midst really of a whole bunch of pagans? It was very evident they were pagans. Why would He do that? Why would He make a whole nation of people from this one man? Why would God wait till the man was 100 years old to give him a child? He could have given him one before that. I mean, why wait till he became 100? Why wait till Sarah became 75? Why wait till they both knew that it was humanly impossible to bring forth the birth of a child? Why do that? That doesn't even make any sense. He could have done it at 40, 50, 30, whatever it might be. In the infinite wisdom of God. You see, God, and there are probably lots of reasons, but God wanted this birth to be an absolute, unquestionable miracle. This son was to be Abraham's son. And his son Jacob, 12 sons, and Reuben, you chase him, Judah, all the way through, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, of those 12 sons, Judah. The Bible says he'll come from the tribe of the line of Judah. And so you trace the whole genealogical line from Jesus, all the way from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, all the way to his birth. God in His infinite wisdom. So we have the miraculous birth of Isaac at the age of 100. Abraham was 100 years of age. And then you come to the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. God in His infinite wisdom knew exactly what He was up to. He knew exactly why He was going to do the things that He was going to do. And while it's not understandable to us oftentimes, it's understandable to God. Now, here's the thing that we have to remember. Nowhere in the Bible do we get any explanations where God says, now, here's what I'm going to do, and these are the reasons I'm going to do it. God is not in the business of explaining why. Now, the way I know that's because I don't find any of them in the Bible. And the second reason is because I never have gotten Him to tell me any whys. Now, sometimes I can understand what He's up to, but I don't always understand why. And you see, God's under no obligation to explain anything to you and me. And if you think about in the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, give me an explanation about that. No, He just states what He did. And you can go all the way through the Scriptures. For example, He doesn't explain to Abraham why He waited until he became 100. He didn't explain to Joseph why He let him live 13 years in a prison unjustly before He made him the absolute supreme, except for Pharaoh, the prime minister of all of Egypt. He could have gone to Potiphar's house. Potiphar could have seen what a great job he did. Potiphar could have mentioned him to Pharaoh. But no, 13 years in prison, forgotten by the butler whose dream he interpreted. And when the time was right, God in His infinite wisdom raised him out of that prison, made him the prime minister of Egypt. And so we say, well, you know, why? Well, but you can't always answer the question, why? Why would He allow those Hebrews to live 400 years down in Egyptian bondage and then rescue them and then make them a nation? Why would He bring them across the Red Sea in the miraculous feat? God offers us no explanations for these things. I mean, there's nothing that says, I have to understand what God is up to.